When it comes to the declaration of God's praise, one name that stands out more than most is that of Charles Wesley. As a matter of fact, there are over 6,000 hymns that are attributed to the pen of Charles Wesley, which tells us that this prolific lyricist was writing at least 2 hymns a week, every week, from the time of his conversion in 1738 until the day of his death in 1788. And in the event that you're unfamiliar with his name, then it'll help to know that Charles Wesley wrote such hymns as Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and Praise the Lord Who Reigns Above. Now, in light of the enormous volume of hymns that were written and produced by this great man of God, one historian pointed out that Charles Wesley, he was writing his hymns at all times and in all places, whether he was on the road, on horseback, on a stagecoach, or in a boat. From this, it's easy to conclude that Charles Wesley was a man who was constantly contemplating the praiseworthiness of God. I'd like to encourage everyone here, so should we be. This morning we find ourselves in the middle of a 3-week study which is aimed at answering the question, what is proper praise? And last week as we continued to explore Nehemiah chapter 12, we found the Israelites, they were gathering together to praise the Lord after the completion of the wall was built. From their example, we discovered that proper praise begins with dedication. We learn that as Christians, we should dedicate ourselves to the praise of God regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations that we find ourselves in, so that on our best day, we're praising the Lord with dedication, and on our worst day, we're praising the Lord with dedication. Then we considered also how the proper praise that begins with dedication will soon become a praise of celebration. And from this we saw how the believer who chooses to take their eyes off of their circumstances and instead focus on the praiseworthiness of the Lord will also soon be inspired to celebrate the infinite goodness of our wonderful Creator and Savior. In the final point of our study last week, we also saw how proper praise, well, it's based on purification. And we considered how we must be positionally purified by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ if we want to offer God proper praise. Then, as Christians, we must also begin to walk in practical purity in order to continue offering proper praise to God. And while the characteristics of proper praise include dedication and celebration and purification, here in our study today as we continue through Nehemiah chapter 12, we'll also see that, number one, proper praise is based on appreciation. Secondly, we'll see that proper praise is based on elevation. And finally, we'll see that proper praise is based on ordination. With this as our outline then, let's jump into our text. We're beginning here at Nehemiah 12, where we find Nehemiah preparing the people to properly praise the Lord at the dedication ceremony of the recently rebuilt wall. And beginning there at verse 31, Nehemiah tells us that he brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed 2 large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. After them went Hoshaiah, and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the priests, sons with trumpets. Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph. And his brethren, Shemaiah, Azarel, Malaleh, Galilei, Mai, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. Ezra the scribe went before them. By the fountain gate, in front of them, they went up the stairs of the city of David, on the stairway of the wall beyond the house of David as far as the water gate eastward. The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the tower of the ovens as far as the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, the tower of the hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped by the gate of the prison. Now let's stop here, because as we begin to develop our text, I want to consider the concept of what a Thanksgiving choir is. It'll help to first understand that the title Thanksgiving Choir, it's translated from a Hebrew word, todah. And in this context, this Hebrew word, todah, refers to a procession of people who are joined together to sing liturgical praises to God. And it's a word that also refers to the praise songs of gratitude towards God, which include lyrics that reveal a heartfelt appreciation of His awe-inspiring attributes. And from this, we should understand that when Nehemiah appointed these two large Thanksgiving choirs, he was helping us to understand that proper praise towards God is based on appreciation. That's why they're Thanksgiving bands. They're giving thanks. They're giving thanks with the songs that they're singing. They're choirs that are designed to offer up appreciative prayers to God. Why? Because of all of His wonderful attributes. And in order to more fully understand how this applies to us today, if you would hold your place there in Nehemiah 12 and turn with me to Psalm 147. As you turn to Psalm 147, we should take a moment to confess that every good gift and every perfect gift, it's from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. God is the one who gives us every good and perfect gift. And without a doubt, praise music is one of those good and perfect gifts that God has given to us. God has given us the perfect and good gift of praise music so that we can corporately focus our attention on His awe-inspiring attributes. God has given us the perfect gift of praise music so that together we can sing to the Lord praise songs of appreciation. Having said that, I must draw your attention to the fact that there is a fine line between worshiping God with praise songs of appreciation and worshiping men who are worshiping God with praise songs of appreciation. Now, the reason why I make this delicate distinction is due to the fact that many Christians, they're starting to have a greater appreciation for their favorite contemporary Christian musician than they are for the God that the contemporary Christian musician is praising. And as a result, these confused Christians end up praising people who are praising God. Now, one way that we can make sure that we're worshiping God with proper praise is to make sure that we're turning our appreciation of God's people and of God's perfect gifts, that we take that appreciation and we direct it towards God, the only one truly worthy of our praise. For example, let's consider the lyrics to this praise song found in Psalm 147, beginning there at verse 1. The psalmist declares, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Well, here in the lyrics of this wonderful praise song, we find the psalmist using both the miraculous and the mundane as a platform for praise. For example, look again there at verse 3 where the psalmist prays the Lord for healing the brokenhearted and binding up their wounds. Certainly God should be praised for doing such things. And then he turns around there in verse 8 and he praises God for preparing the rain for the earth and making the grass to grow on the mountains. Certainly God should be praised for that as well. In verses 16, 17, and 18, he praised the Lord for creating the snow, and then turns around and praises God for melting it. And there in verse 19, he praised God for sending his word and his judgments to Israel so that they might know him. Simply put, the psalmist, he saw everything as a reason to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the rain. Praise the Lord for the snow. Praise the Lord for everything. And there in verse 7, he offered proper praise to the Lord by declaring, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." He's talking about those songs of appreciation. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Would it be to God that every Christian, everywhere, would offer God this same sort of appreciative praise? That our lives would be marked by thanksgiving, and that our life would be lived singing songs of appreciation to God. And with this in mind, if you would, continue holding your place there in Nehemiah 12. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And as you turn to Hebrews 13, we should take a moment to consider how the sinful condition of the human race, it constantly calls us to worship the creation rather than the Creator. For example, as we read a beautiful psalm like the one we just read, the human condition would lead us to praise the praiser. We would look at a beautiful chapter like Psalm 147 and say, "Wow, man, that guy can really write. I wish I could write that well," and we could talk all about how wonderful that writer was. We begin to praise the praiser, rather than realizing that every good and every perfect gift has come from God. And so we can appreciate the vessel that God used, but we must direct our praise to God. And when our favorite Christian band produces a song that moves our soul, the human condition would lead us to worship the worship band instead of acknowledging that every good and every perfect gift comes from God. So don't praise the vessel, but praise God for using the vessel. When we hear a Bible study that pierces our heart or encourages our spirit, it's the human condition that leads us to praise the pastor instead of praising the one who supplies us with every good and every perfect gift. And I've heard people tell me, "Oh, such a wonderful sermon. That was awesome. It just really touched my heart." I hear it all the time. And my main response is, well, I started with a perfect book, and all I could do is muck it up from there. Praise God for His Word. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with appreciating the people that God uses. I certainly appreciate the people that God uses. But we must always remember that our appreciation of the people that God uses should ultimately be turned into thankful praises, songs of appreciation that we should offer to the one who alone is worthy of our praise. With this in mind, check out Hebrews 13, because there in verse 15 we find Paul reminding us of this very fact. He tells us there that it's through Jesus that we ought to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Simply put, Paul is calling us to use everything as an occasion to show our appreciation to the Lord by praising His name. So when you hear a song that you just really, really love, and are so appreciative of that song, take a moment to show your appreciation to God by praising Him and giving thanks to His name. When you hear a Bible study that encourages your heart, then take a moment to show your appreciation to God by just lifting up a praise of appreciation, thanking God for that sermon. And listen, when the blessings of God have filled your heart full of joy, then take a moment to sing a song of appreciation by praising God for His many blessings. And yet at the same time, when it feels like nothing is going your way and your life is coming unraveled at the seams, take a moment to sing a song of appreciation. And be thankful because God's ways are higher than our ways. While we might not understand why our life has taken this turn or that, God knows. And for that we can be thankful. And for that we can praise Him. Simply put, Christians should offer God the proper praise that's based on appreciation by continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. From the example of the Thanksgiving choirs that were appointed by Nehemiah, we see then that proper praise, it's based on appreciation. It's a Thanksgiving choir. It's a choir of appreciation. Therefore, in order to offer proper praise to the Lord, we must use everything as an opportunity to be thankful, so that we might always offer praise songs of appreciation unto the Lord. And listen, as we sing praise songs of appreciation, we soon discover that proper praise is also based on elevation. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, in order to explain what I mean, let's turn back to Nehemiah chapter 12. I want to check out verse 31 again, where Nehemiah tells us that he brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large Thanksgiving choirs. I'll stop right there because it's interesting to note that as Nehemiah was preparing these Thanksgiving choirs so that they might offer proper praise unto the Lord, he actually took the leaders and he led the leaders and then also the choirs up the stairs and on top of the wall that had recently been built. Check out verse 31 again where Nehemiah tells us that he brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall. In other words, the leaders of Israel, they ascended the stairs and stood on top of this newly built wall. And not only the leaders, but also the singers. Check out verse 37. There in verse 37, Nehemiah tells us that the first Thanksgiving choir went up the stairs of the city of David on the stairway of the wall. We should understand that there on top of the wall, that's where they sang praises to the Lord. Now look at verse 38. Nehemiah tells us there that the other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall. Or in other words, the entire choir, both choirs here, they both took two different staircases. They went up to the top of the wall, and that's where they offered proper praise to the Lord. And so we should see here that the Israelites, they're offering proper praise by changing their elevation. In other words, these Israelites, they physically ascended from the earth to the top of the wall where they praised the Lord. And from this, I'd like to suggest that Christians who want to properly praise the Lord must also recognize the need for a change in elevation. Now, before you pick up and move to Boulder, Colorado, or to some high location in America, I'd like to further explain what I mean by this. So hold your place there in Nehemiah 12 and turn to Psalm 100. As you turn to Psalm 100, I want to assure you that I'm not suggesting that we must experience a physical change in elevation. We don't need to move to the Alps in order to offer proper praise to the Lord. If that were the case, then the guys who were building the Tower of Babel should have been completely blessed by God. God looks down and sees all these guys building the Tower of Babel. What are you doing? Just trying to elevate ourselves to your level. Good, good. Keep up the good work. That's not what He did. No, He confused their language and sent them scattered throughout the entire earth. He didn't allow them to complete the structure. Why? Because they were trying to physically elevate themselves to His level. It's not the way it works. From this, we must understand that proper praise, it's not based on a physical change in elevation, but instead proper praise is based on a spiritual change in elevation. And that change begins with the appreciation. Now, in order to better explain what I mean, check out Psalm 100 here, beginning there at verse 1. Because here in the lyrics of this song, The psalmist declared this. He said, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Now, as we read this chapter and consider the lyrics of this praise song, we actually find three keys to the spiritual elevation that results in proper praise. Look again there at verse 2, where the psalmist writes, "Serve the Lord with gladness," and then he says, "Come before His presence with singing." From this, we see that believers, we are spiritually elevated into God's presence whenever we set aside time to sing songs that glorify Him. We enter into His presence with singing. Then there in verse 4, the psalmist revealed that we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Or in other words, the psalmist is telling us here that we're spiritually elevated into the gates of God's kingdom when we sing songs of appreciation. And finally, there in the second half of verse 4, the psalmist revealed that we enter into His courts with praise. You see how we enter into His presence with singing, into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. We're getting closer and closer to God with each step. Now, as we consider these three keys of spiritual elevation, I want you to know that I'm fully aware that there are times when we don't feel like praising the Lord. We come to church, we feel so far removed from God. I mean, we've been out in the world all week long, and we've been touching carnal things and talking to carnal people, and we've just found ourselves just dirty. We come to church, and it's just kind of like, does God even really want to hear from me right now? We feel so far removed as we enter into church, and the carnal world around us has just drained us. The will to sing His praises. And so we drag into church on Sunday morning, probably a little late, and the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is so weak. And if this sounds like you, then I'd like to suggest a simple solution. Because if you really want to experience that spiritual elevation that results in proper praise, then it simply begins by, arriving at church on time. It begins by arriving at church early enough to come in and take a seat. You come in, you take a seat, and you sit down, and maybe open up your Bible and just read a psalm. You can read a psalm of thanksgiving and then just begin to pray and thank God for His many blessings. Begin to share those appreciative, heartfelt thoughts that you have with God. One thing that we can certainly appreciate is God's willingness to forgive us for our carnality. And so as we come in filthy, stinking of the world, we got to take some time to sit down and just say, "Lord, cleanse me and forgive me and prepare me to praise You." Then as the worship team begins to lead us in praise, start singing. And start singing out loud. Remember, we enter into His presence with singing. And so as the band begins to lead us in praise, we ought to sing those songs of praise. Sing them out loud. And as you're singing the words, don't just allow your mind to drift. Don't start wondering how it's going to go tomorrow at work, or don't start contemplating what exactly you're going to order at lunch today. But meditate on the meaning of the words that you're singing. As you sing the songs of praise, think about what you're singing. And then as you contemplate the goodness of God as revealed in the lyrics of the songs that we sing, I want to encourage you, just let everything around you disappear into the background. Now, I'm not talking about some strange New Age astral projection where you leave your body and look at yourself from a, you know, we're not talking about that. But what I am saying is that if you would simply focus in on the songs that we're singing and let everything around you disappear into the background, then you're no longer worried about who might be looking at you and how you might look as they look at you. I'm pretty sure someone's looking at me, and I wonder how I look as they look at me. And that's not praise. Well, it might be praise, but it has everything to do with you, not God. Take the time to just close your eyes and sing those songs. Let everything disappear into the background so you're no longer worried about how you look or how you sound or what someone else might think. Is my hair straight? Is there a booger hanging out of my nose? You know, none of that matters. All that matters is that you connect with God. So show up early. Be here ready to praise. Ask God to cleanse your heart. Sing the songs out loud. Think about what you're singing about and let everything else just disappear in the background. Next thing you know, you're right there in the courts with God. And you're connecting with Him in a way that many people won't be. Before you know it, you find yourselves spiritually elevated into the courtroom of God, of God's kingdom. And you're so completely in awe of His glory that proper praise, it just naturally springs forth from your lips. This is proper praise. And from the example of the Thanksgiving choirs that were appointed by Nehemiah, we see then that proper praise, it's based on appreciation. Because when a Christian's heart is filled with thankful appreciation towards God, then we end up seeing everything as an opportunity to praise the Lord. And as we sing praise songs of appreciation, then we begin to experience that spiritual elevation as we enter into the gates of God's kingdom with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we enter into His courts with praise on our lips. Finally, I also want to consider how proper praise is based on ordination. So if you would turn back to Nehemiah chapter 12, I want to consider the kind of ordination that results in proper praise. If you would check out verse 31 again, because there in verse 31, Nehemiah revealed that he brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. Now, as we consider this verse once again, I want to draw your attention to that word appointed. Nehemiah tells us that he appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. And I should point out that this word appointed, it can also be translated ordained. This seems to suggest that Nehemiah was actually establishing the order. He was ordaining or setting in order these two thanksgiving choirs. Or I might put it like this. Nehemiah was appointing the people to stand in their proper places so that the praises of God might be presented in proper order. And from this ordination, Nehemiah tells us there at the end of verse 31 that the first choir went to the right and on the wall toward the refuse gates. And there in verse 37, we see that they went by the fountain gate and up the stairs of the city of David, on the stairway of the wall, beyond the house of David, as far as the water gates. We should understand that Nehemiah had appointed all of this. He ordained this choir to go up those stairs and stand in this place where they would begin to sing. And there in verse 38, Nehemiah tells us that the other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the tower of the ovens, as far as the broad wall, above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, the fish gate, tower of Hananel, tower of the hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped at the gate of the prison. Again, this was all according to the appointed order, or the ordination that was established by Nehemiah. As we consider this, as we consider the way that Nehemiah ordained these Israelites to praise the Lord in their proper places, we should take a moment to understand that God has ordained everything to praise Him. And in order to show you what I mean, let's turn to Psalm 148. As you're turning to Psalm 148, I should point out that, in case you didn't know it, the universe and everything in it is finite. And what I mean by that is that the universe and everything in it had a beginning. This is just a fact of science, not open for discussion or debate. The universe and everything in it has a beginning. And since everything that has a beginning must have a cause, the universe and everything in it must have been caused by an infinite creator. Not only that, but the universe and everything in it, because it shows clear signs of intelligent design, we must understand that there must be an intelligent designer behind it. Therefore, it's only logical to conclude that the infinite architect who has designed the universe and everything in it has designed and even ordained everything that he's created to have a specific purpose. We might not always understand the specific purpose or the ordination of what God has created, but certainly God is a God of order, as revealed in the Scriptures. So everything that he's created has been ordained for something. And here in Psalm 148, the psalmist actually tells us exactly what the purpose is. Just so that there's no confusion, here in Psalm 148, beginning there at verse 1, the psalmist declared, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord." Here in this psalm, we see that the entire creation, from the stars of the heavens to the creeping things of the earth and everything in between, it's all been designed, even ordained by God to reveal His praiseworthiness. I grew up as a kid in Phoenix, Arizona, and there's something about the desert sky. I mean, when you're standing there in the desert, I mean, you can just see the horizon all the way around. When you're out in the middle of a dark desert and you look up and you just see the stars of the sky, I mean, you can just see billions and billions of stars. And I remember stepping out into my backyard as a young boy. I looked up into the sky and I just started to consider the stars for the very first time that I remember. And as I looked up, I just got the odd sense that something was looking back at me. And it wasn't E.T. There was something out there looking back at me, looking through me. And it freaked me out. And I ran back inside. But I knew that these stars were revealing the glory of God. The created order declares His praises. And from this, I'd like to remind you that it was on the sixth day of creation that God presented mankind with a special ordination. God presented mankind with a special ordination to sing His praises by creating Adam according to the image of the triune God. Therefore, while the creation of God, the creation of God's universe, while this creation implicitly reveals the praises of God, man has been designed and ordained by God to explicitly offer proper praises to the Lord of heaven and earth. The creation reveals implicitly the praises of God. But mankind has been designed to verbalize it and to sing about it and to declare it. And more specifically, the saints of God have been called to stand on the wall and sing His praises. Christian, please hear me when I tell you that when you trusted in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when you turned from your sin and by faith and trusted in Jesus and received the forgiveness of your sins, whether you knew it or not, at that point in time, you also joined the thanksgiving choir of God. As part of that choir, we have some robes to pass out after this service. We're going to build some bleachers up here, and everybody can stand up here. Now, here at Calvary South Austin, we don't go that route. We don't do the whole robed choir thing. That's cool for some churches, but you know, we get more into the band type praise here. But you guys are the choir. We are the choir. So if you want to come with a robe on next week, that's cool. Here at our church, the Thanksgiving choir is made up of every member, every person that calls Calvary South Austin their home. We are the choir. And listen, in case you weren't aware, the Thanksgiving choir of this Christian community comes together before every Bible study so that we can corporately accomplish our holy ordination by together offering proper praise to the Lord. And I encourage you, don't miss it. I encourage you to join us every week by taking a stand, or you can sit if you like, but together with the rest of your Christian community, you should be here with us so that we together can accomplish our holy ordination. You've been ordained to sing the praises of God together with your church family. And so I encourage you to offer proper praises through this ordination. With that, I want to conclude the study by reminding you that the mouth of man, it's been created for the purpose of singing forth the praises of our gracious God. And it's with this heart that the Moravian preacher by the name of Peter Bowler once told Charles Wesley, "If I had 1,000 tongues, let me stop right there because I had to think, what would I do with 1,000 tongues? Well, I would need 1,000 spoons with 1,000 bowls of Amy's ice cream." But that's not what this guy said. Peter Bowler said, "If I had 1,000 tongues, I would praise Jesus with every one of them." And with that statement in mind, Charles went on to write the most famous hymn titled, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." It goes like this. "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. His love my heart has captive made, His captive would I be. For He was bound and scourged and died, my captive soul to free. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. So now Thy blessed name I love, Thy will would be ere mine. Had I 1,000 hearts to give, my Lord, they all were thine. In light of this hymn, I want to encourage you, Christian, that God has given you one tongue. And with that tongue, He has called you to praise His name, to stand on the wall, and to sing forth the praises of our Creator and our Savior. And so with thankful appreciation, with spiritual elevation, and with holy ordination, let's open our mouths and sing the proper praises of our King. Let's pray.